GDP Take Two. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Commerce Department said this morning that GDP growth in the fourth quarter of 2016 was slightly higher than first thought. The U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate of 2.1% as opposed to 1.9%. To talk GDP and more of today's markets news, Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
So GDP numbers, stronger than we thought at the end of 2016. Is that a good sign for 2017?
Well, what we did see was a nice bump up in consumer spending, and consumers are driving economic growth now, and we expect that to continue. That's the good side of it. The bad side of it is that in the first quarter, because we had such unusually warm winter weather across much of the areas of the country that are usually covered in snow, we're going to see much weaker consumer spending because consumers didn't have to spend as much on their heating bills.
So it's going to be a little bit of fake out. It's going to look like consumers aren't super active this quarter, but that's just the weather.
Exactly. And we're going to get some of that data as early as tomorrow. And I think that's very important to keep it in context.
You know, yesterday there was news that BlackRock, one of the world's largest investment firms, was downsizing some of its trading jobs, bringing in algorithms instead. We learned today that banks are making a little less on equity trading, in part because of automation. Are you people in finance world a little worried for your jobs these days?
Well, given that I'm self-employed, I'm always worried about my job these days. But the most important issue is that the kinds of improvements we're seeing in technology and artificial intelligence is that they're very disruptive. They're not a marriage of technology and individuals like they were in the past, enhancing productivity growth. And all of a sudden, people who once have jobs don't have jobs. So even though the underlying trend is positive in terms of job creation, it's masking this underlying turbulence.
All right, Diane, thank you. And our regular host, David Brancaccio, has been examining this topic relentlessly, by the way. 5 years ago, he did an in-depth series called Robots Ate My Job. Well, he's returning to this topic with a series called Robot Proof Jobs, launches next week when David's back. A Senate committee will vote today on the nomination of Alexander Acosta as Labor Secretary. Acosta is the chairman of Florida-based U.S. Century Bank and a former member of the National Labor Relations Board. He's expected to make it through the vote. Marketplace's Mariel Segura looks at just what Acosta would have to tackle as Labor Secretary.
Last year, a federal judge blocked the implementation of a rule by the Department of Labor that made millions more workers eligible for overtime. Adam Shaw is an analyst with the workers' advocacy group Jobs with Justice.
One of Acosta's first decisions will be whether to continue the appeal that the Obama administration lodged against that judge's decision.
Shaw says the new labor secretary will also have to decide whether to push back against President Trump's proposal to cut the department's budget by 21%.
Acosta said at his hearing that he's very strongly in favor of strong enforcement and wants to be able to make sure the laws that are on the books are fairly enforced.
Alec Levinson at the University of Southern California's Center for Effective Organizations says enforcement will be one of Acosta's biggest tasks.
Among the most important things that the Department of Labor does is help to enforce regulations that protect workers.
That may mean Acosta will have to push back on the president on other issues, too. In New York, I'm Mariel Segura for Marketplace.
People in their 30s or younger are all over ride-sharing. Uber, Lyft, Curb. Seniors, though, less so. This makes seniors one big, giant, untapped market for ride-sharing companies. And as Carrie Young reports from KJZZ in Arizona, the Phoenix area has become a testing ground of sorts for those companies trying to win this market over.
Phyllis Murchie is somewhat new to the Phoenix area.
I've been here 3 months.
She moved to a Sunshine Retirement Living community from California, and today she's seeing a new doctor. At 91, she doesn't have a driver's license anymore, which can make transportation to appointments like this a little tricky.
I have a daughter in Whitman, but she works all week and can only come on Saturdays.
But Murchie did find transportation to her doctor today with a man named Adam Fox in his red Chevy Cruze. Fox drives for Lyft, and this ride is part of a relatively new arrangement her senior living community signed with the ride-sharing company. Dan Tregub heads up Lyft's Elder Mobility Initiative.
As we've evolved as a company, we believe it translates very well into healthcare and to that segment of our business, and certainly for our elder population.
Tregub says making the app work for a population that doesn't always have a smartphone has its challenges, which is why, to make this work, Lyft and other ride-sharing companies have entered partnerships with senior living communities. So all Murchie had to do to order her ride was call the front desk at the retirement home where she lives.
We had over 30% of the residents in the pilot community take a ride through Lyft.
Andrew Smith is the director of strategy and innovation at Brookdale, a national assisted living chain. He says at first his company was unsure its residents would be comfortable with this type of service, but initial results are showing otherwise.
50% of those residents who rode are repeat riders.
Transportation expert Carol Wright with the National Aging and Disability Transportation Center says she isn't surprised these partnerships are forming.
If there are enough numbers of people that want a certain thing, then the market responds accordingly. And I think transportation is going to be one of those things.
She says with more than 20% of the population expected to be over the age of 65 in the next 15 years, the demand for flexible and reliable transportation options is likely to grow. In Phoenix, I'm Carrie Young for Marketplace.
From now on, the Oscars will be managed by accounting firm Arthur Andersen. Oh, wait, no. Oh, no. Sorry, it's PricewaterhouseCoopers. PwC, it's PwC. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences announced yesterday it would retain the services of PwC in managing its famous prize. That role was in some jeopardy last month after the Best Picture was mistakenly awarded to La La Land instead of Moonlight. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.